Today, a special extended edition of 60 Second Psych. Morgellons, a tiny bug or a big delusion?
If you haven't yet seen a patient with Morgellons syndrome, it's a good guess you soon will. The disorder was named in 2002 by Mary Liotto, a former lab technician whose son complained of bugs under his skin. She had gone to numerous specialists who diagnosed delusional parasitosis or even Munchausen's by proxy. Frustrated, Mary dug into the medical history and found reports from 1656 by Thomas Brown, who described a condition he called Morgellons, where children broke out with harsh black hairs on their back. Since Mary had found multicolored fibers in her son's sores, she adopted the name Morgellons and created a website and foundation that attracted thousands of followers. A few years later, her foundation lobbied Congress and the CDC to investigate. With the help of celebrities like Hillary Clinton and Joni Mitchell, the singer-songwriter, not the presidential candidate, identifies as a Morgellons sufferer. Patients with this syndrome experience crawling, biting, and stinging sensations in their skin. They present to dermatologists with skin lesions like rashes or sores and complain of fibers emerging from their skin. Often they bring Ziploc bags with skin samples and the fibers in them. Most dermatologists believe that these are just clothing fibers that got embedded in the skin from self-imposed scratching and sores, and studies at the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, and the Mayo Clinic have concluded the same thing, finding that these fibers are cotton in origin. A big turn in the Morgellons' history was 2012 when the CDC released their negative report. At that point, Mary Liotto retreated from public life, and the website transitioned to other hands, as did the foundation. But a small group of clinicians and researchers took up the mantle of Morgellons. The main players here are Randy Wymore, a pharmacologist at Oklahoma State University, Virginia Ginger Savley, a family nurse practitioner, Raphael Stricker, an internist in California, and Marianne Middleveen, a veterinary microbiologist in Canada. Their argument is that these fibers are not fragments of clothing, but are part of an inflammatory reaction in the skin to a spirochete infection. Spirochetes are the spiral-shaped family of bacteria that includes syphilis, as well as the controversial bacteria that causes Lyme disease. Virginia Savley carved out a specialty in Lyme disease and published a paper with Dr. Stricker claiming that 97% of the Morgellons patients they saw tested positive for Borrelia, the spirochete that causes Lyme disease. This caught the attention of Dr. Middleveen, the veterinary microbiologist, who looked into the fibers and concluded they were not made of cotton, but rather of keratin and collagen, and that they were most likely produced by the epithelial cells in the skin. But why would the skin start producing these fibers? Dr. Middleveen hypothesized that it was a reaction to spirochete infection. But what about the fact that these fibers were multicolored like clothing? Dr. Middleveen explained that they were mainly blue and that that was due to melanin. And she admitted there was some clothing and dust and other materials mixed in. One problem with this research is that they used their own criteria to diagnose Lyme disease, and that greatly inflates the diagnosis. In one of their studies, they found a 90% rate of Lyme disease in Morgellons patients, but the rate was only 10% when the CDC criteria were used. You'll see this discrepancy of definitions in your own practice when patients often present with a diagnosis of Lyme disease made by an alternative medicine provider, often explaining the psychiatric symptoms that they've come to you for. Rather than taking sides on this issue, I'll suggest that these patients look at both sides of the controversy and make up their own minds. Quackwatch gives a more skeptical view of overblown medical claims and has a good section on Lyme disease to refer them to. The other problem with most of these papers supporting the infectious cause of Morgellons is that they come from a small group of researchers, only one of whom is a physician. And some of them have struggled with scientific ethics. Dr. Stryker was accused of falsifying data by the National Institutes of Health in 1993. He had published a paper earlier in the New England Journal of Medicine where he claimed to have identified an antibody to the HIV virus that was unique to homosexual patients. He later retracted the paper. The debacle caused Dr. Stryker to lose his post at UC San Francisco. Once set loose from academia, he tried out new pursuits, including directing a penis enlargement clinic before starting a Lyme disease specialty center in San Francisco. Dr. Stryker has published many of the articles on the Lyme-Morgellons connection, along with nurse practitioners that he employs, starting with Ginger Savley. Ms. Savley came to work with Dr. Stryker after being reprimanded by the state of Texas for practicing outside the standards of care in her Lyme disease specialty clinic there, where she placed patients on long-term antibiotic therapy for a reported $500 a visit. Later, in 2011, Kamala Harris, who was then Attorney General of California and now a vice presidential candidate, publicly reprimanded Ms. Savley for similar problems. Formication, the sensation of bugs crawling under the skin, is a symptom, not a disease. Today, with all of the attention on the internet focused on Morgellons, many patients with formication are self-diagnosing with this controversial illness. But it's likely that formication is due to many causes. In psychiatric practice, the number one you'll want to look out for is dopamine. Stimulants, cocaine, are the most common cause. But also look out for other dopaminergics, like meds for restless leg syndrome, pramipexole, or even aripiprazole, the partial agonist, or bupropion and the modafinils, which have mild dopaminergic effects. Remember that many of these patients may have real skin disorders and delusional parasitosis on top of it, just as many patients with pseudo-seizures actually have genuine seizures as well. But the first thing to do when a patient presents with skin lesions that are unexplained, fibrous strands, and the feeling of bugs crawling under their skin is to establish a working alliance. That's not an easy feat in these cases, and it's one that Michael Pasternak tackled in this Monday's podcast. Next, try to lower down any dopaminergic agents. And finally, consider an antipsychotic. Pimazide used to be the treatment of choice here, but it's fallen out of favor due to cardiac risks with the QTC that are more pronounced in people who are poor metabolizers at CYP2D6. In this month's Carlat Report, we review all of the pharmacologic and non-pharmacologic options for delusional disorder.